Just as his Bonfire of the Vanities surveyed the New York City of the 1980s, Tom Wolfe's new novel, A Man in Full, surveys 1990s Atlanta. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says Wolfe's novel may be the most scathing treatment of Atlanta since the burning of the city during the Civil War.
A couple of years after he published his first novel, The Bonfire of the Vanities, Tom Wolfe wrote a much-talked-about essay for Harper's Magazine called Stalking the Billion-Footed Beast, a literary manifesto for the new social novel. In it, Wolfe lamented the invalid-like narcissism of contemporary American fiction, which he claimed has dodged the challenge of trying to capture the chaos and absurdity of life in our great cities. Wolfe said, young writers are constantly told, write about what you know. There is nothing wrong with that rule as a starting point, but it seems to get quickly magnified into an unspoken maxim. The only valid experience is personal experience. Like Bonfire, Wolfe's new novel, A Man in Full, represents a big-shouldered heave-ho to autobiographical fiction. It's intricately plotted and realistic, the kind of book that Dickens, Balzac, Tolstoy, and all those other 19th-century potentates of the pen used to write. You've got to have a lot of upper body strength to hoist up A Man in Full. Again, like Bonfire, A Man in Full weighs in at over 700 pages. And dig that muscular title. Manhood, virility, cojones is the prevailing concern of A Man in Full. In it, Wolfe escorts us through the glass office towers of downtown Atlanta, the charred slums of South Atlanta, the segregated green-breasted suburban enclaves, and the isolated bustle of Atlanta's edge cities. We tour the rap music-fueled bacchanalia of Freaknik and the opulent charity balls replete with tuxedos, jewels, and what he describes as boiling teeth. And just as his mentor Dickens in Bleak House united all the disparate districts of London with the metaphor of all-pervasive fog, so Wolfe in A Man in Full unites sprawling Atlanta with the all-pervasive smell of musk. Wolfe's hero, the dubious man in full of the title, is Charlie Croker, a 60-ish real estate developer of Trumpian proportions. Charlie possesses what he still thinks of as an alpha lion body, a nubile second wife, and a 29,000-acre plantation that makes Tara look like a Kentucky Fried Chicken joint. As Atlanta's boom has gone bust, Charlie has also amassed a half a billion in debt. When the novel begins, he's being subjected to what's called a workout session at the bank that lent him most of his capital. Sadistic doesn't even begin to describe the screw-turning tactics employed by this SWAT team of bankers. In the protracted attempt to save his own hide, Charlie becomes involved with what seems like a cast of thousands here. Foremost among them is a surly black football star who's accused of raping a white socialite, a young working-class white guy who's escaped from prison, and a black lawyer who sees Charlie as his winning ticket to a political jackpot. The most amazing thing about A Man in Full isn't its multi-layered, looping storyline, which, impressive as it is, starts to sag by novel's end. Nor does Wolfe's talent lie in characterization. Wolfe has always been more of an elegant allegorist, even though here he did get me to feel some sympathy for Charlie, that big slab of testosterone-injected beef. No, it's in the big set pieces about place where Wolfe's wit and discernment and even grandeur as a writer are displayed to their fullest. I'd need to read you about a 10-page excerpt from A Man in Full to do these spectacularly paced and crafted passages about place justice. But oh well, here's a small section of a riff one character does on lower middle-class suburbia, which he suggests redesignating 7-Eleven land. It was now one vast goulash of condominiums and other new cheap housing. The only way you could tell you were leaving one community and entering another was when the franchises started repeating and you spotted another 7-Eleven, another Wendy's, another Costco, another Home Depot. The new landmarks were not office towers or monuments or city halls or libraries or museums, but 7-Eleven stores. In giving directions, people would say, "You take the service road down past the 7-Eleven, and then you can imagine the rest." Especially given all the applause for John Glenn over the past few weeks, it's great to see that Glenn's equally white-haired chronicler, Tom Wolfe, still has the right stuff, too.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Tom Wolfe's new novel, A Man in Full. I'm Ken Tucker, and this is Fresh Air.